Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. With me to talk about managing slugs in the garden is Master Gardener Apprentice Julie Erickson. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Ross. Great to be here.
Would you start us out by talking about how you became interested in managing slugs in the garden? Kind of a slimy topic.
Kind of a slimy topic, yes. I've been gardening in the Pacific Northwest for over 30 years. Slugs and snails are just one of those things that are always a problem here. Over the years, I've heard all sorts of strategies for controlling them, and I've tried several things myself, but I wasn't always successful. This project gave me a chance to try a couple different recommendations from OSU, and what I really wanted to do was find a way to limit slug damage in a cheap, easy, and environmentally friendly way.
Those are really good priorities. So the garden has a lot of different creatures and critters. What is it about slugs that makes them important to manage?
Well, slugs are really destructive to delicate plants, young plants, and seedlings. And of course, here in the Northwest, we have the perfect environment for them.
So certainly.
That makes them difficult to manage, and that's why we're all so familiar with them. And one of the things that we also have to figure out as gardeners is how much damage we're willing to tolerate. Personally, I don't mind if I have a few chomped leaves on plants, but when slugs are killing the entire plant or wiping out all my seedlings, I feel like I really need to start managing their populations. Also, if slugs have good habitat, they reproduce very prolifically. They're hermaphrodites, meaning they have both male and female parts, and also meaning they can all lay eggs. So they lay these clutches of up to 40 eggs at a time, and they can lay up to 500 eggs in their lifetimes. And that's a lot of slugs. And all this means that a small slug problem can become a big slug problem if you don't manage their numbers.
Yeah, that can happen. What does this slug damage look like? Like, if a listener is noticing some damage in their garden but not necessarily seeing the culprit, what signs would indicate that it's a slug that's involved?
Yeah, so first you probably notice the chewed off leaves or small plants missing altogether, especially seedlings. Like overnight you can have look one day and your seedlings look great, and you come out the next day and they're gone. And the other telltale sign, of course, is slime trails. And you can see slime on the plants themselves, but often you'll see it on the ground as well, on cement or dirt. You'll just see that telltale silvery trail. And that's how you know you likely have a slug or snail problem. And obviously this also happens more in damp times of year. So when we've had rain, and now in the fall as well, we'll start seeing them come back.
They love the moisture. Are there any plants that are particularly attractive to slugs?
Well, I think anyone who's grown hostas knows. The hostas, it seems to be one of their favorites. Now, that said, there are some hostas with thicker leaves that are more resistant to slugs, but hostas. And again, seedlings, I've had trouble growing things like lettuce in the ground. It just seems like that is an especially tasty thing for slugs and snails. But anything with a light, delicate leaf, even some of the annuals like coleus, that's just a really easy thing for them to eat with their little radula scraping teeth. And so those are the things that you'll most likely see.
I'm interested in the scraping teeth.
Yeah.
So they don't quite chew? What is that?
Yeah, they have this set of it's like a file with small teeth. And that does allow them to grasp and chew. And that is what you'll see in your leaves with these small holes.
Interesting. They've been all over my peonies this year.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yeah, and I really started getting serious about them this spring. I had a new garden, hadn't seen a lot of slugs, but my dahlias, I had one area where they were just really taking on the dahlias, and that's what started me on the recommendation we're going to talk about today for a yeast slurry. I started that after reading about it when I was doing some research on how to save my poor dahlias.
Tragic. So we've been talking about slugs a little bit. Does all of what we've mentioned so far also apply to snails?
Absolutely. From all the research I can see, the treatment is exactly the same. They are related. It's kind of interesting as you talk to people, sometimes we have more of one or the other, but the damage is similar, and basically all the signs and treatments are going to be about the same.
So let's get into that treatment process a little bit. You did your apprentice demonstration garden project on slug management. What made you decide to pick that as your project?
Yeah, so I had already started this slurry project, and I read something in OSU that had a slightly different recipe for how to make that slurry. We had a newly established garden bed in one of our demonstration gardens in Waldport, and I liked these solutions because they were common household things to find, right? So the slurry is literally just yeast and flour and water, so they're relatively cheap, easy to get, non-toxic. I mean, with the yeast slurry, you don't want your dog eating it just because you like your dog eating bread dough. But really, they're not going to harm things. And previously, I had used beer traps, and I was pretty effective at using that as long as I stayed on it. So I started it during the pandemic, and that was great because I was home. But beer got expensive. It starts when you have a new garden and a lot of slugs. It's a lot of beer. So I was looking for something that I thought would also be as effective, but easier to do at home, you know, and low cost. So that's what I started in the demonstration garden. And I took two big yogurt cups because I wanted to try a slightly different solution for each of them. I used the same slurry ratio, but the slurry is basically a cup of flour, a package of yeast, and 2 to 3 cups of water, and you just mix that up. And then you put it in a container. I used the large yogurt containers. For one of them, I just buried the container in the dirt, leaving the rim of the container at the same level as the soil. The other container, I actually carved a hole in it and put the lid back on, so I had the hole, I cut kind of a slot out of it, and that was even with the top of the soil, and then it was covered. So I had the two different containers, both with 2 to 3 inches of slurry in it, and then I would refresh that every, you know, couple days.
What was the rationality for trying the same slurry method but differently integrated into the garden?
I wanted to know how many slugs we caught in each way. And because when I had done it at home, I actually used a different solution where I put the same size yogurt cup, but I tilted it. So I made a little beach so that the slugs could kind of go right in and go into the deep end of the cup, so to speak. And so I wanted to know, are we seeing different ways of catching those slugs? And it was slightly different. You know, on sunnier days or sunnier weeks, the covered container got more slugs. And on the times where it was more overcast, we saw more in the open container. Of the three, though, I really do think the one that was tilted kind of ended up being the best solution. And that was partially because we did catch some unanticipated things in our open container. Like we caught a couple baby mice that fell in, and that was unpleasant for everyone involved.
Yeah.
But the one that was kind of tilted, the mice could have crawled out. But it still caught a lot of slugs.
So will you walk us through what the absolute best method is for controlling slugs in the garden?
Yes. This is the yeast method. This is what has worked for me. But if you make the slurry in the evening and use warm water, slugs do have a sense of smell. And so if you put these in the garden in the evening, the nice warm water, so you're getting that nice yeasty smell coming out, you're going to attract a lot of slugs. So what I would do is I would then get a different container. I used just a peanut, like a tall peanut container, right? And I filled it with water and put a good slug of Dawn dishwashing liquid in there. I would go out and pick off all the slugs that were attracted to that yeast solution. Some will definitely go in and drown. But again, remember, every slug is basically 500 slugs waiting to happen. So every slug you can get that's coming towards that solution, if you can take care of that slug, and then I just popped him in the little jar with the dishwashing liquid, and that seemed to end them very quickly. So the advantages of that yeast solution, it is, again, really, it's cheap, it's easy. It's got your household stuff in there. The disadvantage is you do have to stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. And if you leave it out in the sun, it's not going to smell great. I mean, there's definitely a gross factor with it. So as long as you really stay on top of it, especially in the spring and the fall, and sort of if we have unexpected wet areas in between, you know, wet times where you've got rain or you're watering particularly a lot, it can really help reduce those numbers quite dramatically.
Mm, when you say stay on top of maintenance, about how often are you going through and changing out all the slurry and dealing with the slugs?
I would say a minimum of twice a week, mm-hmm. but the more you do it, the more ahead you're going to get as well. And for me, I don't want to say it's fun, but it was kind of fun. Like every night you put it out and you're like, what am I gonna get? Like an hour later I'd go out and check and see like how many slugs I got. Or the next morning, if you're a morning person, this is also great to do in the morning. They will be out. And so it was kind of interesting to just see how it was working.
While you brought up some sort of accidental catches of creatures that don't really belong in that trap, did you find that this method worked for controlling other types of garden pests?
You know, I didn't. Once in a while, I would get some flies in there. I think they'd hatched nearby. And in the demonstration garden, in one of the test containers, we got a couple bees, and I think that was because we didn't have another source of water for them at that point. In my own home garden, I always have a source of water for the bees, and so I never got them attracted to the yeast solution. So there was a little bit of extra stuff that got in there, but overall, it seemed to be mostly attracting the slugs and the snails. In my yard, in this particular yard, slugs. But I didn't notice a reduction in any other pests. It's pretty specific.
Do you know anything about why that yeastiness is attractive to slugs and snails?
You know, I don't. And we've had this sort of idea that the beer traps, I mean, that was sort mm-hmm. of a thing that had been happening in the past. I do think it has to do with their sense of smell, and it is just a particularly enticing smell for them. But I do not have scientific research on that.
Well, I think that'll help all of our listeners manage their gardens a little bit better based on some solid principles. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
You're very welcome. Delightful talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get into some gardening tips. This week, let's talk about cleaning up the garden. Lots of gardeners are looking to do some maintenance and tidying up in the garden before the rain really sets in. While keeping pathways free of leaves is practical, it's also a great idea to keep some of the garden a little messy. Piles of leaves and organic material provide habitat over the winter for a variety of beneficial creatures, including frogs and bees. Hollow stems are particularly great to leave in the yard as insect habitat. Letting leaves remain on the ground also provides a natural mulch in your garden beds and under trees and shrubs. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening.